Parshas Vayetzeh, the Torah speaks a lot about the tzon of Yaakov. And the Torah doesn't waste any words. And if the Torah is spending so much time on this, it must mean that it's important to us. It's important to Klal Yisrael. So let's try to understand, Imitz Hashem, the significance of the tzon of Yaakov. In fact, if you make a counting of how many times the word tzon is in Parshas Vayetzeh, it's an astonishing 31 times. And that's not the variations of the word tzon, like izim and ksavim, just the word tzon itself is 31 times. V'derech drush, v'derech remez, you could say that even the word vayetzeh can be broken into the word tzon, because the tzadi and the aleph, and the vav and the yod, if you put it together, it makes a nun, an end a nun, an insofis. So even the word vayetzeh can mean he was going for the purpose of tzon. That's Aleph. On the topic of tzon, so we know that tzon, the seh, is connected to the Korban Pesach. This is an interesting question, but in the end of Mirtz Hashem, hopefully it'll give clarity why we're asking such a question. The Torah writes in Siman Tuf Lamed, in Or HaChaim, where he's discussing the inyan of Shabbos HaGadol, that Klai Yisrael did something which was very gadol, and they took the tzon of the Mitzrayim, and the Medrash says, Kohu Shineihem Shalom Mitzrayim, that it was devastating to the Mitzrayim to see their Avodah Zarah, which was taken by Klai Yisrael. And Chazal said that before they shechted it, Karu El Mitay Seihem, they tied the seh, this tzon, to the bedpost before shechting it, and this needs explanation. Out of all places, right, the bedroom does not seem to be the appropriate place to tie the tzon. So why is that pointed out, and why was it done? And thirdly, the fact that the Mitzrayim should worship the tzon is very bizarre. We know that earlier, the Torah says, by Yosef and the brothers, that he had them eat separate from the Mitzrayim. Why? Ki toyevas Mitzrayim kol roi tzon. Because the Mitzrayim, they despised all shepherds. So the Rashbam learns Pashup Shat, that they didn't have a liking for shepherds. However, the Targum, Targum Unkelus, Targum Yushalmi, they learn Pumfakert, that they worshipped the tzon. And they despised Yidden because they would eat the tzon. How do we explain this inyan, that this worshipping of the tzon? There's a few other clashes. So we know, this is one of the clashes which is mentioned in the Mefarshim, that when Yaakov goes down to the house of Paro, so he tells Sarah, he says that you should say, Achaisihi, the man yitav li bavurech, so that I can get matanas, Rashi says. Yet when Avram is in discussions with Stone after the victory against the four or five kings, so there's negotiations which are taking place, and Melech Stone says, take all the rechush, but give me the nefesh, to which Avram says, Chalil, I'm not taking anything, that you shouldn't say, Ani hasharti as Avram, afilu michut v'atzachnal, I don't want anything. So the Mefarshim asked, but well, if you're interested in Matanas from Pyre, why not interested in Matanas from Stone? So why wasn't the Ani Hesharat Yisafram an issue going back to the house of Pyre and the house of Avimelech as well? And lastly, for now, the Chazal tell us a very big chiddush, that B'nai Yisrael Mitzrayim, they multiplied. They multiplied L'Roiv. I mean, the Torah is very, very expressive. It says, Paru v'yishutsu v'yibu, and Chazal explained that they were giving birth not just to one, two at a time, but maybe 6, 12, 60, v'chule, v'chule. So, how did that supernatural giving of birth take place? Why did it take place? It seems unprecedented and nothing like that ever afterwards. So what was different about that experience in Mitzrayim that was taking place? So, Behekdem. So So the Chazal tell us that when Yaakov came down to the house of Lavan, he came down Ma'at. Chazal say this Ma'at goes in connection with the Ma'at of which it says when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, Yishivim Nefesh. And so too, Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim with only 70 tzon. By the time that he walked away from the house of Lavan, according to one Shita, he had 600,000 tzon. And according to another Deya, he had 2 times 600,000. And we see the correlation between Yaakov's going to the house of Lavan as a Maisa of a similar Banim and Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim. In fact, he fled from the house of Lavan on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And there's many, many connections which are, we can see that very clearly. The Lashon of the Medrash is as follows. And what Yaakov was trying to do with its own, this wasn't a normal procedure, as you could see from the Maklos and the whole Seder which Yaakov had going on. So of this, the Medrash declares about Yaakov Avinu a similar statement which they say about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash says, "Vatachzareyu ma'at me'lekim," that Yaakov was just a little bit below godliness. Shenemar, where do we see that? Vayechemu hatzayin ala maklais. Whatever this procedure was, through secrets of Torah, the Zayar says it was like the Inyan of Tefillin. So he was being oisik in a process for like of yitzira, of creation. Because the Medrash says, Malame shelo hayachas elitin lahem ela nefashos. The only thing that was left for Yaakov to do was to create nefashos. It sounds like Yaakov was in the process of creating gufim. And the only thing that was left that these tzon didn't have was nefashos. What's being alluded to here is the following musug, is that before we say what that is, let's just be mashlam one last thing. When Yaakov leaves the house of Lavan, the Torah tells us at the end of the parsha, "Vayifku by Malachei Elokim," that he comes in contact with Malachei Elokim. So the Medrash says on this, Mereshis Rabba 9 Dalet, that Yaakov, he met 600,000 malachim. Some say 2 times 600,000. So now it's interesting. So Yaakov was being osik and sown in 600,000, perhaps times 2. And yet when he leaves the house of Lavan, he finds Malachi Elokim, and there's also 600,000, perhaps times 2. But the Oimek HaInyan is as follows. Is that from going back to earlier Chatoyim, as far back as the Chet Adam HaRishon, Bechulei, very big neshamas, they fell into Tohu, into deep dark places. And one of those deep dark places was the house of Lavan, which is why Avram sent Eliezer to go there to find Rivka. And now Rivka was sending Yaakov to go there to find Rachav Aleah and Bela and Zilpa and the 12 Shvatim. But it's not only those neshamas which were there, it was also the 600,000 root neshamas of Klai Yisrael. Now, of course, Yaakov Avinu, he had to gather up all of those neshamas. But he couldn't have 600,000 children on his own. So what Yaakov did, as his role as one of the Avos HaKdoshim, is that he created kelim, temporary kelim for the neshamas of Klai Yisrael to spend time in, and those were the tzon. Because the tzon is the animal which is most mukhshar in being compared to Klai Yisrael, like we find many times throughout Tanakh, David Melech in particular, Noe Katzon Yosef, Anachnu Amo V'Tzon Mariso, we see many times over the course of davening this comparison to tzon. And Yaakov created kelim for Nishmas Yisrael. And as soon as he had created the kelim through this process of Atachsoy Me'at Me'lokim, that he created these gufim, which were mukhshar lekach, not just regular tzon, that they needed Yaakov's participation and input in order to be machshar the tzon, to be able to house a neshama, basically. So when he left the house of Lavan, he was greeted by the 600,000 malachei elokim, which refers to neshamas. One of the klalim is that when the Torah refers to a malach, it doesn't only mean an angel. It means also a neshama without a guf can be referred to as a malach. And b'chlal in Pnimiyas HaTorah, there's an inyan that since a neshama is higher than a malach, there's an avoda which takes place that a malach can be nis'ala to being a neshama. And that's really Nishmas Yisrael. There are many types of malachim, but to be malach, to become a neshama, is an avoda in itself. So here Yaakov was leaving the house of Lavan, and he left with 600,000 tzon, let's say, and 600,000 malachei elokim, which would be the neshamas for that, but the job wasn't done. There was now the avoda of stimming together the malachei elokim with the tzon. And if we really want to understand this process from a broader perspective, we can go back so far as to Avraham and Yitzhak and then carry it over to the Shvatim. We find by Avraham Avinu that his job was as hanefesh asher asu b'chara. The Gemara says that Avodah Zarah, that was the beginning of the 2,000 years of Torah. But before that, there was Tohu. As hanefesh asher asu b'chara is interpreted in many ways. Chazal say to have geirim. But really what that means, literally, as the Sod always brings out the pnimius of what it is very precisely, is that he was creating neshamas. He was creating Nishmas Yisrael. That's called Bes HaNefesh Asher Asu B'chara. That was the Avodah of Avram, that was the Avodah of Yitzchak. The Avodah of Yaakov was now to make the Kalim, which was the Tzon, and to gather up all the Nishamas which were created by Avram and Yitzchak. Those are the Malachi Elokim. The role of the Shvatim would now be to integrate them together. To integrate the Malachi Elokim with the Tzon. That would be the role of the Yud Beis Shvatim of Yaakov Avinu. And perhaps this sheds light on Akasha, which the Mefarshim deal with, that Yosef is accusing his brothers of Iver Menachai. And the Shloss has a pshat that they were making Tzon, they were making animals with Sefer Yetzira, and either Yosef didn't know about that, and he was falsely accusing them, but it really wasn't sown. But the Mefarshim asked on the Shlah that why was that necessary? Yaakov Avinu had 600,000 at the minimum sown, so why did they have to make sown in the Sefer Yetzirah? So perhaps you could say a different mahalach, that the emes is that it wasn't that they were making sown. This was Tzom, which was created by Sefer Yetzirah, going back to the Maklos, whatever the process was of Atachsei Me'atz Melokim, that Yaakov was using the Maklos. So there was Tzom, which was created by Yaakov Avinu. But the Shiloh was this, what's the status of a Tzom, which doesn't have a Neshama yet? Meaning this wasn't regular Tzom. This was Tzom, which really was void of a Neshama, like it says. The Medrash says this Lashon, Shelo hayachas u'litinim ele nefashos. Didn't have a Nefesh. So what's the din of a tzon, which is a goof without a nefesh? Is there a din of Iver Menachai on that? Or do we say, no, the Iver Menachai is only on a tzon, which has a nefesh, because it's no gear to the nefesh, not to the goof. So it could be that's what the shaila was. Al kapanim, that was the role of the shvatim. The role from the avos to the shvatim was the process of being, of the creation of Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael, as we know it, when leaving Sefer Bereishis, is Nishmas Yisrael in tzon. And so therefore, when Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, towards the end of Sefer Bereishis, and he comes down b'shivim nefesh, with a lot of tzon, he was bringing that tzon into Mitzrayim. B'derech Remez, just, we see from the beginning of this week's parasha, that Yaakov meets up with Esav in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, and he says, Vayihili, I came from the house of Lavan, Lavan Garti, Vayihili, Shor, Bachamar, Vitzon ve'evi v'shivcha. So the measure says tzon eli Yisrael. Shenemar pasuk in Yechezkel va'atena tzoni tzon marisi adam atem, which is the pasuk which is often quoted, which shows very clearly that adam atem is the tzon, that Nishas Yisrael was in the tzon of Yaakov Avinu, and that's from the Malachi Elokim, which was at the end of Parshas Vayetze. So Malachi Elokim is gematria adam tzon, as if to say that the Nishmas Yisrael, which the pasuk refers to, whose client is adam atem. So in Marisi, that was the Malachi Elokim. Helps us understand why it is that when they come down to Mitzrayim, the Shvatim, the first thing they say to Paro is, Roei Tzon Avadecha. That's like the first thing they have to lay down for Paro, as if like they're not going to compromise on that. So Paro has to say, okay, I'll send you to Goshen, nobody will know about it, b'chule. But it's so interesting that their introduction and the whole thing which they're working on and they're deliberating about is how they're going to present to Paro the fact that they're Roei Tzon. It wasn't something which was negotiable. Nishmas Yisrael was here. And so coming down to Mitzrayim now meant the process of dealing with Nishmas Yisrael in the Tzon and making Gufim out of them, giving them real Gufim. So with this we can explain the following phenomenon. When Bnei Yisrael are giving birth in Mitzrayim, they're giving birth to real Kalim, human Kalim, which would now be the new Kalim to hold the Neshamas which were in the Tzon. And this is what the Gali Razi writes. It's from the Beis Medrash of the Arizal. He says there were, as the Gemara mentions, 974 doiras. Tuf kufayin dalid doiras. This is his lashon. Hayim gulgulim b'tzon lavan, which were in gilgulim as gilgulim in the tzon of lavan. Va'acharka chaylichim Yaakov l'mitzrayim. Yaakov brought them to Mitzrayim. U'misham zochul lehizgalgil b'min anushi. And then they went from being tzon to being humans. V'lachin hayu Yisrael parim v'ra'avim o'id b'mitzrayim. And that's why they multiplied like crazy in Mitzrayim. So with that, we can explain already one of the kashas which we addressed earlier. Ki chayois heina, that the Torah says that they were giving birth like animals. So many of them at once. And Chazal even say that before the midwives can get there, they were already giving birth. They didn't need any assistance like animals don't need. The answer is that they were being transferred from the tzon to Bnei Adam. It's not that because they had brachas of being like tzon, that's why that happened. Because there was actually a transfer which is going from the tzon to the Adam. This helps us understand also. And the process wasn't complete even in Mitzrayim. There was still more to go. And we find that this process took place in the Arizal, even in the times of David HaMelech. But we find that every time Paro is trying to hold back those who will be leaving Mitzrayim, so Moshe refuses and he insists, not only that the men, not only the women, Binarenu, Biskeinin, and Nelech, and even Paro when he says, why do you need to take the animals? No. Binarenu, Biskeinin, Nelech, Bivanenu, Bivnaisenu, Bitsainenu, Bivkarenu, Nelech. Meaning Moshe groups them in the same category as the humans. And he's makbid on that. Nothing could be left behind. The Kaven could be left behind, but no. Binarenu, Biskeinin, Bivanenu, Bivnaisenu, Bitsainenu, Bivkarenu. That has to go. And that's equally as important as the Bnei Adam going as well, because that's exactly what it is. This helps us understand also why it is that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were so makbid about the tzon, the matzav of the tzon, that they didn't want him to go into Eretz Yisrael because it would be good for the tzon to be, right? Because Mikne Rav, they had a lot of Mikne. So what's Shaychis? Giving up Eretz Yisrael on that? But it was a choice in taking care of the Nishmas Yisrael over the schos of living in Eretz Yisrael. It's a different perspective as to what they were interested in. So the fact that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim and the Darga of Behemoth, so it really helps us understand many things as it pertains to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Gaon quotes the Pasuk in explaining Yitzias Mitzrayim, but I believe it's from the Zayar. Adam uvehema teshi Hashem. That it wasn't just that the Adam left, that the Behemoth left, but it was the Darga of Adam uvehema. Because we find that when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that they were given mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs were given on the level of Adam and also Behema. So for example, Petach Hamor Tiftev Seh. So that's on the Darga of Seh and Chamor. Seh is the Tzon, which is Klal Yisrael's called Tzon, and the Chamor is Mitzrayim. Besor Chamorim, Besar Chamorim, Besarim. So that's explaining the dynamic which took place between Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, but on the level of Behema. Like, why do we have to go so far? And the whole Indian of being Paida, opinion of Bechor is not just a Bechor mitzad and Adam, there's also a mitzvah to give a Bechor to a Kohen too. And even the tefillin which was given to Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, tefillin means taking the orb of a Behemah and putting it on an Adam. So we see the yachas between Adam and Behemah, and that unfortunately is coming to show how Bnei Yisrael did not leave Mitzrayim on a high darga. As Chazal said, they almost fell into Shar Nun. Shar Nun means that when an Adam comes mamash a Behemah, that you can't tell the difference between the two, that's considered to be like Shar Nun. And that's why Chazal say that the mitzvah of Omer is done with Sa'irim, which is Maichel Behema. Whereas when you come to Shavuos, the korban is the Shtei HaLechem, which is Chita. So the process of going from being a Behema to a real Adam, or like an Adam which is like a Neshama, is the Seder of Sfiras HaOmer. And so therefore, the korban HaOmer, which is Sa'irim, versus Shavuos, which is Chita, which is Maichel Adam, is going from a Behema to an Adam. And that's the process. That they left as Bnei Adam and Behema to come to a place which Chazal says 600,000 set at Har Sinai, Neshamas, which were on the level of Malachim. In contrast to this, to this Chiddush of the Ari and others, that Bnei Yisrael went from being Tzoyin into being Adam, again, just to clarify, that for every child which was born from a husband and a wife, the neshama of that guf would be taken from the tzon, thanks to Yaakov from bringing them down. We find the opposite of that by Amalek, because we know that everything which happens in the Kedusha can happen also in the Tama. And the Zelu Mazel Bnei Yisrael as Amalek. So we find that when Shmuel told Shaul to wipe out Amalek completely, he told the men, women, and children in the Tzon and the Bakar. He says he didn't do so, and he left the Tzon and the Bakar because he wanted to bring Korbanos. And Bechlal, just this whole secret of Behema to Adam is Shaykh, that the whole secret of what Korbanos is all about, obviously. But we see that Shmuel comes and he says, what is this that I hear from the Tzon? So Shaul says, I want to bring Korbanos. He says, you're a fool. He says, I told you to wipe them all out. And Chazal explained that Amalek was able to escape complete destruction because they transformed themselves from Bnei Adam into Tzon. So the process of going from a Bnei Adam to a Tzon is the opposite of what we find by Klal Yisrael, that a Tzon goes to being an Adam. Because if we find it in the Kedusha one way, we'll find it in the Tumah the other way. Just Bechlal, B'derech Hashkafa, this Musig of a Ben Adam becoming a Behema is something which is Shaykh Tamalik into the Sitra Acher. We don't realize it because it's so subtle, but in the outside world, outside the Machane de Kedusha, they have their image as to what's considered to be super, yeah? Like, what's a superhero? And many times, what's considered to be super is that when an Adam becomes like a Behema, he has super qualities. When a man becomes like a spider, so he becomes super, and he's now a super who could save the world. That whole Musag of downgrading an Adam to the Darg of a Behema is considered to be the Klipa, because you're not, if you can't understand why you can't be Mavrin between an Adam and a Behema, or if you think even more than that, Chalila, that going from an Adam to a Behema is considered to be super, that means you don't understand the mile of an Adam.
Dagon.
What?
Dagon.
Like Dagon. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas by Klai Yisrael, the opposite is true, that the Adam is at the top of all of the hierarchies of the world, and the opposite is true. We go from a tzon to an adam. That's super. Or to go from adam to a malach. That's what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik is a person who is able to conquer his nefesh abahami, and to be megalad the kreches haneshama, and then he's a neshama, which is like he's higher than a malach. So that's considered to be super. The real superheroes are the tzaddikim. It's actually very super. Like the Ibn Ezra writes, Ish kiyaf lidor nender. When a person becomes a nazir that he wants to overcome his physical taiva, so the Torah calls it kiyafli. And the Ibn Ezra says it's mamash apala that a person should be able to conquer his taivas. That's super. That's supernatural. And a person can taka be supernatural. It's akopanim. We have an understanding why it is that the Torah is mairich so much when it comes to the whole discussion of the tzon. It's similar to what we find early in the Torah about the Dor HaFlaga, the Dor HaMabul, and what's going on in Sodom, which the Ari explains that the Neshamas of Klai Yisrael was the Dor HaMabul, it was the Dor HaFlaga. They were just Nisgagel into Mitzrayim, but the Torah talks about it because why do we need to know about the life of Rishayim in the times of the Mabul and the HaFlaga? Of course, there's other reasons to know, but to be in such detail, we need to know this is the Torah, which is the Torah of the history of Klai Yisrael. But it pertains to Klai Yisrael. And the Tzon very much pertains to Klai Yisrael. As such, it deserves special attention because this is our history. In fact, the Yisach Moshe used to say about himself that he still has a mark on his arm from when he was a tzayin, when Yaakov hit him with a whip when he was in the flock of Yaakov Avinu. Not things which are made up, Chalila. This is real. This is the history of our of who we are and of our people. So going back to our questions, we explained already Chayos Heina, why the birth of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim was Paru, Vayishutsu, Vayibu, Vayabu. It was so much because there was a process which was taking place of transferring the Shamas from the Tzon and the Bakar also onto Klal Yisrael. But to explain why it is, Kisayev asked Mitzrayim Kol Roi Tzon, that they despised the Tzon and they worshipped the Tzon, the Targum says, is because the only thing in this world which is truly godly is Nishmas Yisrael, that we're Achelik Alakam Imal. And since the Tzon, not of the Tzon just of Yaakov Avinu, right, but the Tzon of Mitzrayim too, because there were neshamas there, which in the Tzon, which I had to take out, was in the Tzon. So they worshipped the Tzon, not because there's anything valuable to the Tzon, but because Nishus Yisrael was in the Tzon. And they were margish, the Kedushas Yisrael, the Chilak HaLakam Imal in there. So what becomes actually so amazing when you think about it, is that they were worshipping the Tzon, why? Because Nishmas Yisrael was there. That means that they were worshipping Nishmas Yisrael. That means that they were subservient to Nishmas Yisrael. Yet, as soon as a Yid was born and became into a Guf, they oppressed the Jewish people and became their masters. But really, one of the reasons behind Yitzias Mitzrayim, but Tzibederech HaSeichel, was as follows. Was that the whole reason why they worshipped the Tzon was because they believed that Nishmas Yisrael is Elokai. That there's something godly to that. So if you believe that Nishmas Yisrael is Elokai, then how could you oppress them? It means you're oppressing your God. So I mean that Sara, that open Sara is in itself a seichodik, a force which drives Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Something to be misplaying even a little bit more. We find the same thing also by Yashka. The same thing. Yashka could be turned into a god. Of course it's a shtus, but he can. Why? Because he has a chelik alakam yima. You can make an avodah zarah out of a chelik alakam yima. Of course it's a very dangerous aveira, but at least there's something to it. Couldn't make that out of the Ishmaeli Muhammad. They don't make him into a god like they do when it comes to why, because he's not a yid. Out of a yid, you can make like that. And Paru and Avimelech and Stone the man Yitali Bavareich. So Avram is very interested in the Matanos, right? But he's not interested in explaining that question in all Matanos. He's only interested in one thing. He's interested in Tzon. That's what he wants. And so that's why when Avram Avinu, when he goes down to the house of Paro first, so the Torah says, "Ul Avram heiti bavura." Paro is very generous. What did he do for Avram Avinu? Vayihi lo Tzon. Give him Tzon. And the Torah says that when he leaves, he left with Tzon Ubakar Avadim Ushfachus Gmalim. And again, when he goes to the house of Avimelech, Avimelech gives him a consolation prize. Veikach Avimelech Tzon Ubakar. That's what Avram was interested in. And it's Mochrech, because why would Tzon be put before Avadim and Shvachos? Wouldn't you put the humans before the animals? But the pshat is that he was interested in the Tzon and the Bakar. That's why the Tzon comes first. But when it comes to the house of stone, right, the Melech Stone isn't offering Avram Avinu Tzon. How do we know that? Because the Torah calls it Rechush. And if you want to know what type of Rechush we're dealing with, yeah, Avram Avinu rejects the Matanas of stone by saying, "Imi chut v'atzrach nal." I don't want your shoes, I don't want your shoelaces. Right? Meaning, that sounds like it's a very minimal gift. If something really valuable, I should have said Tzon Ubakar. That's what he was interested in. No. Avram didn't want anything. He didn't want any oisher. He wanted Nishmas Yisrael. He wanted Kalim for Nishmas Yisrael. But since it wasn't being offered by Stein, so that's why he didn't want those Matanas. With this, we can explain the Kashta which you open with. Why did they tie the Tzon to the bed? Because, understand this, that the bed is the place of the Yichud between the husband and the wife. That's where the Neshamas were being created. And those Neshamas, those Gufim of Nishmas Yisrael, would now be the new Kalim, that the Neshamas which were on the Tzon would now be Chal on those new Gufim. So of course the Tzon should be brought there. That's the place for that. Because we were now, by Shechting the Tzon, that was the way in which the Neshamas would now go on to the new Gufim which were being born between Isha and Bnei Yisrael. So that's exactly the right place where it belongs. Because this is Meir on the whole Inyan of what Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not just about taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. It's about a process which goes back to the Avos HaKadoshim, which is creating Nishmas Yisrael, creating the Tzon, bringing them together, and then taking the Tzon's Neshamas from the Tzon and putting onto Gufei Yisrael, and then being Malu Bnei Yisrael from the Dag of Behema to the Dag of the Adam, which was manifested by Matan Torah, as the pasuk says, "Ani Amarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kolchem Achin Ka Adam to Musa." The Chetz, so everything went back into the Torah again. There's a whole Seder which began with the Avos HaKadosh, which culminated by Matan Torah, which very much has to do with the Tzon, which is why the Torah is so involved in the whole ending of the Tzon, because this is the story of Nishmas Yisrael. We should say Chetz of the Tikkun of all Nishmas Yisrael to become Shech Tzidkenu. We'll hear from anyone, man.